Welcome to the Sports Hub. Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 AM and 98.5 FM proudly presents Northeast South Dakota's leader in sports talk and sports coverage. Co-hosts David Tewksbury and Matt McClure have you covered on all things area sports. They'll talk with local coaches.
We have it so good, and I hope that Wolves Country knows just how big a difference they make, because they turned the Pentagon into Walks Arena. There's absolutely nothing like you, and so thank you doesn't seem like enough, but it's all I got today.
He said after the win last week, we set a new standard for how we play at Northern State, and we will never go back. And they responded. Our guys responded today. What a performance.
They'll sit down with local student-athletes.
I've always said Coach Schmidt and Coach Glasgow took a big chance on me out of high school. You know, I was only 170 pounds. Showed up, I had blonde hair, dangly earrings, a lot of jewelry, and I was 17 when I first got up here for the first couple weeks. I was super nervous, and now with a year under my belt, a spring under my belt, everything's just slowed down. I'm seeing the ball, I'm seeing the receivers, everything slowed down. I'm really grateful. The coaches took a chance on me.
We're a great team, too. Like, we can beat anybody. We haven't been scared in the past, but I don't know. We can beat anybody. Like, we can show up on any day and beat anybody in the NSIC. That's what we learned today.
Plus, they'll visit with local media members and talk all things sports in South Dakota and the region.
Dude, you have no idea what you're talking about right now.
I don't know what I'm talking about.
Yeah, that's what I said.
Take a look in the mirror, pal.
Let's go!
Go indeed. Happy Hub Day. It is the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. He's the Cobra. I'm Tewks. This is 1420 on the AM dial, 98.5 on the FM dial, and online at hubcityradio.com. Smash that like button. Share the stream. Helps with the algorithm. It's a very nebulous thing, this algorithm, but apparently I'm told smashing the like button and sharing the stream does quite well for said algorithm. So glad to be with you on this Wednesday installment of the show. We're going to talk some track and field, some football, some just overall athletics with Colby Dowen. That's coming up here about a quarter past the hour. Aberdeen Central grad will get his post-grad plans, and a fun discussion with him is coming up here, I would imagine, in the next 15 minutes. He's the Cobra. We call him nothing but the Cobra. I think I'm retiring the Mr. Unlimited. I think it ran its course, you know?
For sure. I'm doing all right. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. No coffee for yours truly. I haven't had coffee since Friday now, and now it's Wednesday, so we're getting pretty close to a full-on week. I'm feeling okay. My skin doesn't look any clearer or anything like that. You know, don't they say that about, like, drinking? Mm-hmm. Like, if you don't drink for, like, 2 weeks or whatever, like, you feel better, you feel more relaxed, your mm-hmm. skin clears up, you get better night's sleep. I like the exact opposite, you know, like my skin, like I'm getting more, I'm breaking out here. This is brutal. What's going on here?
I'm 2 cups of coffee in today, so we're caffeinated up here on this Wednesday for sure.
Excellent, excellent. Yeah, sometimes I don't need it, sometimes I do. I was thinking about rolling the dice this morning with the coffee, but with my stomach problems, I haven't had any, so I'm like, do I chance it and go with the coffee and risk the mm-hmm. flare-ups? So I don't know. At some point, I'm going to go back in there, and we'll see how it goes. But today is not that day. Today is not that day. We'll get to the jump here very, very shortly. Lots of things to get to today on the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. Some Legion baseball as the Aberdeen Smitties, they were in the mix there yesterday, traveling down 281, battling that Huron Post 7 squad. And we'll talk about that, as well as Redfield Post 92 in the mix. Had some amateur baseball there yesterday. A lot of local and familiar faces on that Aberdeen Circus squad. They took care of business yesterday against Northville 10-3. And also of note, the junior tour continues. The SDGA Sanford International Series yesterday was at the Bluffs. We'll talk about that and much, much more. Plus, oh, by the way, the Twins were in the mix there yesterday. And, well, not very much. They got quadrupled up 16-4 against an under 500 Texas team. Not necessarily a good start to that series there. They'll look to rebound here tonight at 6:40 on Fox Sports Aberdeen. But, you know, they're now 8 games back of first place Detroit. Obviously, there's a long, long ways to go. But Detroit's 20, count them, 20 games over 500. They're in first place right now by 8 games. Over your Minnesota Twins.
I mean, I can't believe how good the Tigers have been. They're 20 games over 500. They're dominant at home. They got an above average or above 500 record on the road as well. They're playing my Orioles right now. They won 5-3, but it just seems to me that they win every single series they got. They're incredible. I didn't see this coming. I thought they caught fire last year. I thought it was a little bit lucky. Remember, they were dead in the water and then they went on a big run, and the Twins stunk combined, so they were able to sneak their way into the playoffs. And not just sneak their way in, by the end of the season, they were in pretty easily. And that's carried over into the next year. They got a really good pitching staff led by Tarik Skubal. He's one of the best pitchers in all of baseball. I just didn't see this coming with the Detroit Tigers. I thought they'd be decent. I thought the Royals were going to be that team maybe to take the next step in the division. I think it's the Tigers right now. I mean, they're one of the favorites, if you can believe it, to maybe win the World Series out of the American League. It's crazy.
It is wild. And speaking of the Detroit Tigers, I thought I saw the clip pop up on my feed here. I think it was either earlier on this week or last week. We're getting around that 10-year anniversary or 11-year. It's around this time mm-hmm. of the year where you had the Jim Joyce blown call of the perfect game.
Oh, yeah.
Remember that play?
Armando Galarraga.
Galarraga, that's right.
Was the pitcher.
Yes.
And I do remember that.
And he covered first base on that final play, and I think it was Miguel Cabrera that kind of flipped it over to him there at first base, and you know, the play-by-play and the color guy, why is he out? Why is he safe? And just, oh, Jim Joyce. just says it so softly. But, yeah, that popped up on my feed. That's a great memory. Well, terrible memory if you're a Tigers fan.
Yeah, and for him. I mean, that's one of the worst blown calls ever. And Jim Joyce, I think he there's an interview somewhere. Somebody did a documentary, a quick little series on that. And he knows he blew the call. But, yeah, no, that comes on my feed every once in a while. Sometimes when you see a guy get, like, a perfect game in the sixth or seventh inning, I'll see that. It's just, like, the most obvious out and called safe. And, yeah, instead of being implemented in history. I mean, maybe you're, like, the only guy maybe that got, like, robbed like that of having a perfect game. So you won't remember Armando Galarraga. You'd have to think – he'd be like one of those guys you'd have to think, oh, did this guy get a perfect game?
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you remember him because he didn't get the perfect game and got robbed.
Yeah, absolutely. And there are so many people out there that have had perfect games, and we have no idea who they are.
Yes.
Like, you can probably name a good amount of them, but you probably can't name every single perfect game unless you're a baseball savant. But you do remember Armando Galarraga because he got absolutely hosed.
There was one I remember, some dude named Philip Humber from the White Sox had
I remember
a perfect
that.
Game.
Yep.
It's like a really random one. Really
and
random.
But the only reason I remember that is because I'm from Chicagoland, and my buddy Jim, who's also my my godfather for my two girls, he'll never let me live that down. Remember Philip Humber's perfect? Yes, I do, Jim. I remember. Thanks for bringing it up. So it does happen.
Here's a stat for you. Speaking of, we're on the perfect game, no hitter. How about this? I saw this day in sports history. I know you're a fan.
Yep.
1990, 43-year-old Nolan Ryan pitched his sixth no hitter, made him the oldest man to throw one.
Wow. How old was he?
43 years old. And then that record was broken the following season. He tossed another no hitter at 44. That's crazy.
One of my all-time favorite sports photos, as we're talking with Matt McClure here, the Cobra. Is when he just has the blood all over his jersey.
Yeah.
I mean, how bad a kind of can you have of a player like that? Speaking of old school sports photos, one of my all-time favorites is the Len Dawson in the locker room. I think it's in the Super Bowl against the Packers, one of those early Super Bowls, late 1960s.
Oh, with the cigar?
He's got the cigarette and he's got the Fresca.
Yeah.
He's got the bottle of Fresca underneath his... Underneath his folding chair.
Yeah, he's sitting on a metal folding chair with the cigarette or cigar with the bottle of Fresca. That is a legendary picture.
That's an all-timer right there. I love that. And just times have changed a little bit. You know, nowadays it's players getting all sorts of hydration, maybe an IV bag or something like that. They're on the whiteboard or, you know, they're in their position groups. No. In the 1960s, we're drinking Fresca and we're hitting darts. You know, that's the way they rolled back in the day. So I think we've come a long way in terms of hydration and everything else like that. Well, let's get to the jump here. And this is one thing I brought up. I think it was either yesterday or late last week as the New York Knicks, they fired their head coach, Tom Thibodeau. I was like, you know, that just looks prime for some Doc Rivers territory. Well, actually, word came out this morning. The Bucks gave the New York Knicks permission to interview Doc Rivers, and the New York Knicks said, "No, we're good. We're good here. Thanks. We appreciate it, but we're good."
Prime example of thanks but no thanks right there.
Oh, my gosh. And the crazy thing to me about it is the Bucks and many teams in the NBA, they still haven't quite figured that out. Is Doc Rivers continues to just linger. You know, he's like something just that just can't – the NBA owners, they just can't quite quit Doc Rivers.
No, they can't. I see his name, we're like, oh, won that championship in 08.
What if? It's like that Family Guy bit. I think I've even played it on the air. It's like it's the mystery box. It's like you could have the mystery box or a boat. And Doc Rivers is that mystery box.
Yes.
It's like you know what you're going to get with the boat, but that mystery box is Doc Rivers. And then Peter's like, well, it could even be a boat inside there. So Doc Rivers is the NBA's mystery box, but the Knicks are like, no thanks.
Yeah. I saw the Knicks were interested in Jason Kidd, though, from the Mavericks. So maybe that could be something. I don't know if Jay Kidd's 100% on that because of what they got in Dallas. First overall draft pick. They're going to have Cooper Flagg there probably. And you got AD and Kyrie. So we already talked about it, the draft lottery, how it was rigged. And, of course, it goes to Dallas, a team that doesn't even need it and doesn't deserve it because they traded Luka away. But anyway, back to this Doc Rivers thing. His tenure in Milwaukee just hasn't been great at all.
No.
He did okay in Philly. They never won the big one, but he was pretty good. He went to Milwaukee randomly. Remember they fired their coach, Griffin?
Yeah.
They were like 17 games over 500. They fired him. Everybody's like, you're going to fire your coach for Doc Rivers, and it just hasn't worked out. And, Doc, I don't get the love around the guy. I really don't.
Liked him as a analyst on, I think he was on NBC back in the day, or maybe ABC. But coaching, yeah, he's won that one in 2008. But ever since that, just a whole lot of kind of mediocrity, some ups, some down. But the New York Knicks.
Blown leads.
Yeah, blown leads. 3-1 series leads. Just hasn't quite worked out. Well, things have worked out for our guy. Well, I shouldn't say our guy. But let me rephrase here. When you are in a group of golfers, this is a beautiful tweet. I saw this yesterday, that Aaron Rodgers confirmed that there's a wedding ring on his finger. He's, of course, officially hitched.
Mm-hmm.
How long has he been married? He says it's been a couple of months. Obviously, he didn't really post about it on X and social media, these sorts of things. But the tweet regarding this is hilarious, and it's so true. It says, this is how you find out someone in your golf group is married. You know, with your buddies and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Because guys just don't share everything else like that. I mean, I'm in a group chat with a fair amount of my friends, and my buddy's been dating a girl for, feels like years now. And about once a year, I ask him, I'm like, hey, how are things going with so-and-so?
Mm-hmm.
Are you engaged yet? Yada, yada, yada. And, you know, they're always breaking my balls. Like, stop saying stuff like that. You know, what was this, a girl text message chain?
Yeah.
And I'm like, no, I'm curious. We're buddies. You know, I want to know if you're engaged or not.
Uh-huh.
And he goes, no, we're not going there. But if I ever went golfing with him and I found a wedding ring on his finger, I'd be like, this is how you find out.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. I'm with you on that.
It's how you find out with these sorts of things, especially guys. You know,
yeah.
Guys are not very good in communicating.
Yeah, you'll see like, oh, when did that happen?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And it's like you play golf with a couple of guys and your wife or your girlfriend afterwards. You're like, oh, how's Phil? And you're like, yeah, he's fine.
Yeah.
Well, what's he up to? I don't know. We just play golf. We talked about sports and golf.
That's exactly right.
And he could read hold 14, no problem.
He made a nice little birdie putt.
Yeah.
I know that for a fact.
Yeah.
I don't know how he's doing.
Yeah, I couldn't tell you. I honestly couldn't tell you. A couple other things in terms of this day in sports history. It's kind of arguable, but I think most people would say the greatest NFL coach of all time is probably Bill Belichick.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's probably put to bed. But on this day, back in 1913, the great Vince Lombardi was born.
Yeah, I was just going to say, there's probably a couple old guys. Oh, Vince Lombardi was the best.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, shout out to the Vince Lombardi, the Packers, and that's what the Super Bowl trophy's named.
That's right. Remember Bill Belichick was saying that they should rename it the Tom Brady Trophy or whatever?
Yeah. No.
Yeah. We're good here.
Yeah, we're good.
We're like the New York Knicks and Doc Rivers. We're good here. Thanks, but no thanks. We don't need that. And a couple more here before we bring in Colby Dowen here on Fox Sports Aberdeen. The Washington Nationals, they have called up their top minor league prospect, not prospect, but prospect, Bruce the Bat Dog from AAA Rochester has officially been inked for a new deal. Bruce is one of the organization's head leaders in head pats, belly rubs, and good old-fashioned good boys since making his first professional appearance September the 5th, 2024.
Welcome to the show, Bruce. I wish they show, you know how like they do the call-ups
yeah.
for the minor league team? They get the call, and they have the player in.
Yeah.
I wish they had a video with that dog. Like, hey, you're going to the majors, and they just like give him a belt. That would be awesome.
Just they got them mic'd up. Hey, what are your thoughts on making it to the big leagues? Yeah, oh, he's pretty fired up.
Yeah, he's good.
He's ready to go. And oh, by the way, he is a golden retriever, of course.
Yeah,
makes sense to be a bat boy or bat dog. Maybe he's a boy. It is Bruce, so it's a dog, boy dog.
Like but, I like the bandana. It's fresh.
Very solid. And by the way, I've got a golden retriever. Sucks at retrieving. Doesn't do anything in terms of retrieving. Hey, Salty, go ahead and get this.
Does she play fetch at least?
Barely.
Okay.
She just lays there. She lays there and chases rabbits. So I think we need to train her to learn a thing or two from Bruce and the Washington Nationals. Coming up next on the show, we're going to talk a little bit of this, a little bit of that. Just athletics all over the place is Colby Dowen. He'll be joining us live in studio on FSA. It's the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. We are joined live in studio, Aberdeen Central grad, Colby Dowen. How are you, sir?
I'm pretty good. Thanks for having me.
Glad to have you here in studio for sure. You can follow him on the X there as well, at Dowen Colby. And always going with the last name first rather than the first name
yep.
first. Yeah, I should have done that or something like that. But that's a good deal. Give him a follow on the X there. And we're talking off the air about, you know, your high school career and everything else like that. And Matt said, boy, you had quite the football season. And probably one of the highlights was the game-winning touchdown against Sturgis, right?
Yeah, either that or the homecoming 72-yarder. That was one of the best two things in this year, I guess, from my high school experience.
What's it like, you know, becoming a senior? It's your final year of football, and you're thinking to yourself, I want to finish this thing off on top. You know, you want to put your best foot forward, knowing that it's your final year of football. What's that kind of like?
You know, it's just different. Junior year, you're like, well, I got another year. I got this. I mean, I didn't play a lot of junior, so coming in my senior year, I wanted to make an impact, and I guess it's just different. You come in as senior, there's a different mentality you have walking in, and it's you want to play harder, you want to play faster. It's different.
Yeah, no, it's funny you bring that up because I remember your junior year. You got on sparingly, but senior year, I mean, you made an impact right away. Did you really focus a lot in that off season? I know you played basketball. You started to make an impact your junior year there. Mm-hmm. Coach Norberg would talk about your energy there, and it kind of seemed like that carried over onto the gridiron. So did you just focus in more so in the weight room, those kinds of things in the summer, you think? Or?
It definitely started basketball my junior year, having that impact. I know what I could do. So, and then going to track, I was on the varsity 4x4, and then that followed right into football. I mean, yes, the gym and everything, but starting with Norberg, helping me play on the varsity court, that really boosted my everything, my enthusiasm, my confidence, everything to be a better athlete.
So would you say that you found kind of who you were as an athlete through coaching? You know, some players are kind of self-motivated. You know, they know they can do X, Y, and Z. Other players are like, I'm not really so good at this. But for you, you've kind of found your, for lack of a better term, motivation, your confidence through your coaching staff. Can you kind of talk about that a little bit?
Yeah, definitely. You know, Norbert's not one to, like, yell at everybody, but he knows me. And he knows that if I want to play hard, I'm a defensive guy, he yells at me. And it's the one way I can get it cooking is if he's yelling at me and I'm not doing it right, he yells at me, I'm doing it right the next time. You know, it really buckles me down.
Yeah, so, I mean, going on to that basketball thing, you were kind of I like to call you the energizer bunny, mm-hmm. On whether it was a quick 6 points on offense, a charge, a big rebound, obviously on the football field, the long 72-yard touchdown. I mean, it seemed like you played every position in football.
Yeah.
You played quarterback at some time. So can you just kind of talk about your mentality, whether it's on the court, on the football field? Because we've talked to Coach Brees as well. You were always kind of like, hey, we got to do this. You know, he mm-hmm. said you were kind of a motivator to your team just with how you played and how you led.
Yeah, whatever I was doing, I wanted to do it 100, 105%. You know, it doesn't matter what we're doing. We just got to do it right and hard. I mean, it doesn't have, I mean, I guess not even right. It just got to be full speed. And if that's getting a rebound, if that's getting the ball in my hand, it's something. But we just got to do it 105%.
I think a lot of coaches, as we're talking with Colby Dowen here live in studio on Fox Sports Aberdeen, a lot of coaches, they really lean on their senior leadership quite a bit. And I've always kind of been of the opinion, but what if your seniors aren't vocal? What if your seniors don't like to talk? What if your seniors aren't your rah-rah guys? There's nothing wrong with following a sophomore or mm-hmm. a junior or something like that. But let's say for you, you know, you kind of found your voice a little bit here this year, your senior year. How does one develop that? How does one find their voice and get that confidence to kind of be in front of their teammates and say, hey, we need to do X, Y, and Z and be that vocal leader? Is it difficult to do that? Is it tough?
Yeah, I mean, I've always been a loud kid, but ever since I started being able to get the, you know, the confidence from my coaches, that confidence rang off to me, and then I can share it to my team. So, I mean, it's hard if you're not loud, but I was always like one down, shut up kind of guy. But yeah, I mean, I guess it depends on the guy.
For sure, and you know, you're looking at. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about, you know, the basketball season, and obviously things didn't go your way with that record-wise and things of that. But you know, even when things got hard, it's you guys always gave it 100%. What will you remember most about that basketball season? I know it was a pretty senior-led team. You had a bunch of seniors. It seemed like you guys were obviously the results weren't what you want, but. You were a pretty close-knit team. Mm. I mean, that's what Coach Norberg would always tell me. Like, hey, these guys, they're going to play for each other every night.
Yeah, the one thing we did, we would get down, you know, 20 points, whatever. I hate quitting, especially when there's still time on the clock. I would always get them together, you know, we can't quit. You know, we're down, but there's no point in quitting. We still got time to do something.
Have you ever been a part of a team that has quit before, and what's that kind of like? It's gotta be pretty deflating, I would guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's not fun. You know you're losing and then you just give up. There's not a point. I just don't understand it. So yeah,
for sure. You know, looking at, you know, the football season a little bit, we kind of said you played wide receiver, running back, you played quarterback, you started that Huron game at QB. Was that kind of difficult for you from a standpoint of, hey, I got to learn all these plays at receiver, then they'll, you know, at quarterback, which, you know, you had a pretty nice arm there as well. You have to know what everybody's doing, not just, you know, receiver kind of can be like, hey, I just got to figure out what I'm doing here. Mm-hmm. What were the challenges with that?
It's a little bit different. You wouldn't believe it, but the hardest part was handing off the ball. You know, you got to, sometimes it's a read, so you got to move your feet. Sometimes you got to stand there, just give it to them. I mean, it's hard. You got to know what the offensive line is doing. You got to know what the receivers are doing. You got to know what the running back are doing. You got to say hut. And then, yeah, it's a little bit different from just standing 25 yards out there and hoping you get the ball after you run. So, yeah, it's hard.
And you got to hope the snap's right there. Yeah. I mean, you got to do everything, you know, snap count, this, that, and the third. Can you kind of walk us through that week of preparation? Because did you know that you were going to be the starting quarterback on that Friday night, or was that kind of a Wednesday-Thursday decision? Can you kind of walk us through that week and what that was like for you? I mean, you still got tests and quizzes and homework and everything else like that. That's got to be a lot to digest.
Yeah, I think Bowman, who got a concussion the week before, we came in Monday hoping he can play Tuesday, I think, was the time we knew. So we had Tuesday through Thursday. On to Friday, we knew I was going to be able to play quarterback, but yeah, I mean, we had at the start of the year, Brenner got hurt in the Brookings game, and then from there on, we didn't know, we had quarterback tryouts, we had everything, and then we had to do it all again coming the next week, and I guess they just decided to land on me. We didn't have many tryouts, but we just thought, put the ball in my hands. That's, I guess, the best we could do.
So you've been a part of some wild finishes. I mean, the last 2 years, junior year, Brendan Phillips hits that buzzer beater against Watertown. You were on that team. You were part of the Brookings game. We talked a little bit about that when they walked off. So you're on the other side of it. And then you were on the other side where you make the game-tying catch and then the game-tying or game-winning two-point conversion. So you've kind of seen it all from a standpoint of the highs and the lows. From both sides, how do you just mentally kind of keep it even keel in big moments? Because, you know, what I would always say, you always came up big in the biggest moments.
Mm-hmm. Really big on short memory. You got it. I mean, you can remember what happened, and you just got to use that towards your own self. You see what they did? Go do it. Go back to them.
So let's go back to the Sturgis game. Again, Colby Dowen here live in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. As soon as you came in, I was like, you were the guy that had that game-winning touchdown against Sturgis, wasn't it? And you're like, yeah, yeah, yep. 1.1 seconds left to go. You guys are down 17-10 on the road. If memory serves, I think it was their homecoming, too.
Yeah, it was. All three games you won this year were all homecoming. So.
Okay, there you go. So I guess you got to make every single game homecoming.
Yeah,
going
we played
good
on homecoming.
I guess. So you guys find a way to win the game. Walk us through not just that final catch, but that final drive to kind of – because it was about a 70-yard drive,
yeah,
give or take. Went almost the full length of the field, or at least a good portion of it, three-fourths of it. Kind of walk us through the drive and that final touchdown reception.
Yeah, I don't remember how we got the ball, if it was a punt or what, but we started and we knew what we were going to have to do. We were going to have to go towards the sidelines. We didn't have too many timeouts to waste, so we had shot clock. Luckily, they were playing back, so we got the easy stuff underneath, but we drove down – quick outs, and then we throw one shot, I believe, and it was overthrown. I fell over or something, and we could have had that one, but so coming down to, 6 seconds left, Bowman's under duress, he runs left, tosses a bullet right down there, three people on me, and I just can't believe it. It was crazy, and then obviously we were looking at earlier, the fans, I mean, that's the best part, I think, looking at the other team just... our hands on head, and that's just the worst.
Was it always go for two?
Yeah, it was just because the Brookings game, I think, too.
Okay.
We're using that from before.
Because Joey was a good kicker.
Yeah, we had it. He's like, Fox said, we got to do what they did to us last week, and yeah.
For those of you watching on the Facebook feed, you can check out the video of it. And the fans, the players, everybody else, this little youngster going down just so upset, just visibly, just so despondent. I mean, this catch was amazing, and that's just it. The referee's right on it.
Mm-hmm.
And we asked you off the air, did you catch it? Because there's some players on their sideline.
Yeah.
The players right there on top of it were like, I don't think he caught that ball. We slowed it down, I think, weeks ago off the air, and we're like, I think he caught it. So what's the official ruling here?
It's a touchdown. I mean, that's what they said. Referee said touchdown. I was like, okay, touchdown. I mean, I got my hands under, I thought, but.
And you became a really good runner. I mean, I felt like this was
one of
the first games where you really found your groove. Obviously, Waldo was kind of the main running back there, but you were one of the leading rushers by the end of the year. Does it just kind of show your offensive line, what they were able to do? Did you kind of learn patience and things of that nature?
Yeah. One big thing is there's a lot of patience to be having in the backfield. It's not just go put your head down. You do got to wait. You got to let your block set.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it doesn't matter who's behind our line. They did a hell of a job this year. They were great. And it doesn't matter who you put behind them. We got yards. So big props to them. But. Yeah, there's a lot of patience behind that line. You wouldn't think about it, but there is.
What's it like when you're on a bus back and you don't get the two-point conversion?
Yeah.
You lose 17-16 as opposed to you get it, and that's about a five-hour bus ride back to Aberdeen.
It's a long one, and it would have not been fun. It was quiet on the way back because we were so tired after that game, but it would have been so much worse if we didn't have that touchdown and that two-point. Yeah.
So you were part of that team there, and some really good athletes, especially on the defensive side of the ball. One guy that stood out to me all year, we talked about him, was Big Felipe Gonzalez, Cordell Ricklick as well.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously, those guys, Felipe's going to be back senior year. Cordell, he's a senior. Just that group of seniors and that group there, were you guys a pretty tight-knit crew there?
Yeah, we've known each other. I mean – we've been on the same team since seventh grade. Some of them have been playing since Y football. I mean, my mom never let me play until seventh grade. So,
hey, I was the same way. I was the same way. I couldn't play football until I was like in eighth grade.
I had to be 100 pounds. My mom said so. but yeah, we've always known each other since we've been growing up since elementary school. So it really helps to have a close knit group like that and being able to play ball together, one more time in our senior year.
So walk us through kind of the the fact that you've kind of bulked up a little bit, because like you said, you know, you had to be at least 100 pounds to play, and you weren't for a lot of years there. So what was that process like? Just a lot of cheeseburgers and weight room and Gatorade or
gosh,
what? Pre-workout?
Yeah, I can eat so much. It is crazy, but it just, you know, I guess, I mean, I love the weight room. A freshman to sophomore year, I really started hitting that thing, and that's right where I wanted it. And that's where I started getting more athletic. You know, I was going to come in. Murley was going to have me as a distance runner, running the mile, running the half. But I come in, and I get in the gym, start playing basketball, start playing football. I really just want to be bigger than other kids.
I'm just curious, multi-sport athlete, basketball, football, track and field. How did you kind of get into – you said you started football late. Were you – I'm seeing here on your X here, you played baseball as well. I mean, talk about the sports that you played a little bit here, how you got started.
Oh, gosh. I mean, my dad and my mom both were athletes growing up, but I don't know what I wouldn't do if there wasn't sports. It's going to be rough going to college and not having four sports a season. I know it's a long one during track, but, gosh, that's how I did it. Like, my mom saw me sitting at home, was like, all right, we're going to soccer. All right, we're going to basketball. We're going to football. We're going to baseball. So, yeah, that's how I got it. My mom really wasn't really pushing on going to the athletics.
Yeah, it's better than, you know, having Cheeto dust under your fingernails and playing video games all the time. Yep. You got time for another segment?
Yeah.
All right, perfect. We'll take a quick timeout. More with none other than Colby Dowen after this on Fox Sports Everything. I almost said Cordell Rickleck because that name was popped into my head that you might have mentioned him. But more with Colby Dowen after this on FSA. Fox Sports Everything, 1420 AM, 98.5 on the FM dial. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury, joined live in studio by Aberdeen Central grad Colby Dowen, headed down to Brookings next year for a little track and field. How'd that come to be? Why track and field? Why not something else? Because, heck, you're quite the multi-sport athlete.
Yeah, well, not quite tall enough to play basketball, not quite big enough to play football. You know, track's right in the wheelhouse here. Don't got to be too big, just got to run. So, yeah.
Fair enough. For sure. And I believe during the senior night of basketball, you're going to be living with one of your teammates for football, right, in basketball?
Yeah, Jacob Weishauer.
Yeah, Weishauer. And, you know, so that'll probably help the transition to college with you a little bit, right?
Yeah. Right? Yeah, we're like roommates already, I would say. So I live in Langford, which is a 45-minute drive. So when we had morning practices, I would stay at his house, and it was like we were living together already. So maybe it would be a lot easier than other people.
So have you always lived in Langford then?
Or, yeah.
So why did you come to Central? Why not go to Langford? What was that process like?
Better opportunity. There's better schooling, better sports. Everything is better here, and bigger school mainly.
So wow, I mean that's a pretty long commute every day, and. Did you have to, like, be on a schedule with something like that? I mean you got to be ready to roll, right?
Yeah, it was a lot of early mornings, But, yeah, I mean, leave by 7, get here by 8. It's, you know, I guess that was my life.
Yeah, you know, you can only hit the snooze button once or maybe even twice. Yep. If you hit it twice, you know, you might be late or something like that to morning workout. Mm-hmm. Were you ever late or anything like that?
There was a couple instances where, you know, the trip got me, but yeah, after sophomore, junior year, it became pretty easy.
See, the fact is you're coming from the Northeast. You don't have to deal with any sort of train tracks here in Aberdeen. You know, we're traveling west of before 281. You know, you get that train there. You know, that's a bit of a problem.
Yeah.
Colby Dowen here live in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. It's been well documented. Matt talked about the multi sports and multiple sports that you played. Can you kind of talk about the importance of playing multiple sports? We're big proponents of that around here, and it probably builds up so many areas of your body. You know, your muscle groups are always getting worked out. Because if you play just one sport, it really kind of avoids that burnout. Mm-hmm. Can you kind of talk about the importance of being a multi-sport athlete?
Yeah, it really helps. I mean, you get your hand-eye coordination gets better every season. And, you know, you're strengthening muscles that, like, you want. So basketball, you got to get in a stance, and then that will come in right for track. And then for track, you're running, and that will get you right in shape for football. I mean, it really helps every other group.
Can you talk about how that last track season went there for you? You mentioned some of the events that you were running earlier, but just kind of that season, obviously made it through basketball pretty healthy, right? I mean, you're dealing with a couple dings.
Yeah.
But how did the track season go there for you?
For the senior year?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was, I mean, we came in, we were really hoping for the 4x4 championship, but I mean, I came in 300 hurdles, I came in 20th into the state, and I finished 11th, and then for 4x4, Brendan Phillips on the team, Kyson Fiant was on the basketball team, and then Elias Biga, who was on the wrestling team,
mm-hmm.
he, I mean, we just, that was what we wanted. We came in the track here, that's what was we wanted, and we got third, so.
Well, that's just it. You know, there are so many times that we talk about, you know, winning the gold medal or being a medalist or something like that. But in track and field, it's so unique that for a guy like you that was 20th and you go all the way up to 11th, that's almost like a gold medal in your own personal medal experience. Can you kind of talk about how it's just it track and field is so different than other sports because you're looking for personal growth the most?
Yeah. You know, it's not about where you're at on the leaderboard at then. It's if you got a PR next to your name, and that's really big for us here. You want to do the best at every single meet. You want to get better at every single meet, and that state one, you know, was my last high school one, but I got better, so that's all I could ask for.
So with the 4x4, is that the event you ran?
Yeah.
Can you kind of did you have the baton? Did you have to – is that the one where you have the baton mm-hmm. and you have to – give it to your teammate there, pass it. Is that, can you talk about the importance of that with the 4x4? Because we talk to coaches and say that transition could be the kind of make or break of finishing, you know, 10th or 5th, right?
Yeah, so for the 4x1, 4x2, it's a lot of, you know, you can't look at the baton. You just got to grab it and run. For the 4x4, you can look at it, but it's still big. You know, you got to get out the right time. You got to grab it and you just got to go. You know, I was never really good at giving off the baton, so I was always last so I could finish with it. But
you were the anchor,
yeah.
Huh?
I was always the anchor, but yeah, I mean, yeah, it was hard. Sometimes, you know, our girls, I don't think, got it off too well in ESD, and our boys also at ESD, but, you know, it's what practice.
What, so what's the mentality of being the anchor, the last guy to run there? I mean, you that's know. That's got to be pretty fun, right?
Yeah, I always Katie Anderson, I always loved asking her to be my sophomore year, junior year. I always wanted to be the anchor because, I mean, you're the last guy. You're the one to bring it all home, so I always like to be that guy.
Empty the tank.
Mm-hmm.
A couple more here with Colby Dowen on Fox Sports Aberdeen, 1420 and 98.5. We're big on the superstitions and game day rituals or pre-meet rituals. Were you a big pre-match or pre-meet or pre-game ritual kind of guy or any crazy superstitions?
So for track, I was always a 2 ibuprofen and 5-minute massage gun kind of guy. And then for football, it was always we had a meeting for a position group.
Mm-hmm.
Right after the position group, I would chug a energy drink and get ready for the game. I guess I didn't really have one for basketball, but for football and track, that was it.
Wow.
What's your go-to energy drink? You're talking Monster, Red Bull?
For football, I was a C4, like, blue raspberry kind of guy.
I don't even know what that is.
Were you playing on an empty stomach for that?
So, no, because usually a game is at 7, so we'd go to somebody's house, have a little snack, and then we come in. I would have, like, a bag of chips or something small right before we would get right there at 5:30, and then probably 6:45, I'd bang that energy drink.
Yeah, so it's not like you're eating like a full-on three-course
no,
meal.
No, yeah.
Did you ever have an upset stomach during the game?
Yeah, I think it was our second game. I don't know who it was, but I got like a fried rice and fried chicken.
It must have been a tea.
Yeah, I don't know, but okay, sure. I packed it in my bag, and yeah, we were away, so it must have been tea, but I packed it in my bag, and it was rough. I mean, it was ugly. I threw up on the way back from halftime, so yeah.
Not great.
not great. So what's next for you? You're going to be traveling down south to Brookings there, SDSU, track and field. Can you kind of walk us through the decision to travel down to Brookings and – why not somewhere else?
I always liked SDSU. I mean, there was always NSU, but I really wanted to get out of town. I wanted to try something new. Plus, you know, SDSU got a really good engineering program, so that's why I always, you know, schooling way before sports for me, so that was mainly.
Another smart kid. engineering.
Yeah, I mean, there's something about the Sports Hub here. We're always bringing in the smarty pants. What's the deal with the mustache? It's a grade A mustache. Looks very, very solid. We've had lots of guys in the studio with mustaches lately.
It's a new trend, I guess. I mean, I've been going out because with Norbert, you can't have mustaches. So ever since basketball ended, I've been working on it.
So you couldn't have the playoff facial hair then, or?
I guess not. You didn't like it. You just didn't like it.
Sure.
Gotcha. All right. Well, final words of parting here. You want to shout out to your parents or some friends or something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, well, shout out my roommate, Jake Weishauer, and then all my coaches. We got Miss Anderson, we got Norberg, Breeze, Joey Feigs, and did I say Brent Norberg?
Yes, you did.
Okay. Well, I just had to make sure I get him in. And Colton McClemens. So, yeah. And I go Mom and Dad. Thanks, Mom.
Gotta give your parents a shout-out for sure. Colby Dowen here live in studio, Fox Sports Aberdeen. Thanks for popping in, and we'll see you around there at Kessler's,
yep.
Okay?
Yeah, thank you.
You bet, absolutely. That's Colby Dowen live in studio here on this Wednesday installment of the Hub. Talk some Legion baseball and more coming up next. Final segment for your Hump Day installment of the Sports Hub on Fox Sports Aberdeen. He's Matt McClure. I'm David Tewksbury. Follow us on the site formerly known as Twitter. It's called X now. Fox Sports 1420 AM and at @the_Cobra66 and at David Tewksbury for yours truly. Aberdeen Smitties, they were in action yesterday down south in Huron, and well, the good news is they didn't surrender, what, 30 some odd runs that Huron put up there earlier on this last week?
Yeah.
On Sunday?
Yeah.
Man alive. They competed in both games, but just ultimately falling short in both of them, losing game one 4-1. Dropping game two 18-8, but it's been that bugaboo again is getting out of that first inning, and we saw it in game one. All four of the runs that the Smitties surrendered were in that first inning, and outside of that first inning, they played really, really solid. You know, Ridley Waldo goes 2-for-3 with a run batted in. Nice approach at the plate, also drew a walk. Long form relief, you had Jackson Ladner going 5 innings of solid work, scattering 5 hits. No runs, no nothing like that, no walks, 1 strikeout, so throwing a lot of strikes, can't complain about that, but just the start of these games has just been a really, really hard time for them.
Yeah, that's why I think Coach Ganelli is just trying to find what works in the first inning right now. I mean, he took out Cogley, it looked like, pretty early in the game, and that's something that we do know about Coach Ganelli. If you don't have it one day, he's going to go to the next guy,
yep.
And the next guy, and Ladner did a great job in relief. They fielded the ball pretty well in that first game as well. I mean, limited the errors. Second game, they had, I believe it was either 7 or 8 errors. So that's something that they're going to have to clean up. But you played a team in Huron that put up 32 runs in their last game, and you hold them to 4 in the first, and then you had a good chance to win that second game, but then a 10-0 run really was the difference. When the team scores, if a team has a big inning, it's important to kind of chip away in the bottom of that inning or the top. So let's say you give up 6 or 7 runs in the bottom of the inning. You got to get a couple back in the top or the bottom of that next inning. And if you're on the other side of that, like Huron, do what you did, which is get a shutdown inning, get the bats back in the dugout. That's what they did. But, you know, for the Smitties, it's got to get out of that first inning. That's the big key, I think, for them. I said that a couple weeks ago. They can get out of that first inning. They might have won that first game there against Huron.
Yeah, it was 8-8 at one point in time in that second game. And, you know, we typically don't talk about scoring runs in baseball, but we had that yesterday, 10-0 scoring barrage there for that 18-8 victory. And that's the victory, of course, there for the Huron Post 7 squad. Aberdeen returns to the diamond on the road against Shakopee on Friday at 1:30, and then Brandon Valley Post 1:31 to follow there at 4 p.m. So this is a tough stretch for them. I mean, they're playing good teams, and they're all on the road. They haven't been home since the first week of June, and they're not back at home until June 23rd. This is a wild stretch.
Yeah, looking at the schedule, I couldn't believe it, how many road games. And to your point, I mean, these are some solid teams. You got to go at Brandon Valley coming up. Next home game is against Renner, and that's a pretty good team there as well. So the schedule's been tough. I think they've been in a lot of games. It's just, it's kind of funny, but you got to put 7 innings together of clean baseball, and they just haven't been able to do that outside of the Groton game here this year.
Clark Willow Lake, they would defeat the Redfield Post 92 Clay Kaiser squad yesterday 5-2. Big effort from Cooper Palmer on the bump, striking out 9 in that victory there for the Clark Willow Lake squad, the Aberdeen Circus, was all over Northville last night, 10-3, your final score. And in the SDGA Sanford International Series, just about everybody played a lot better on Tuesday as it pertains to their overall score. You had Olivia Braun finish collectively in third place, and I believe she shaved like 9 strokes off of her off of her score from the previous day, from 84 to 75. So very solid there. Claire Crawford also finishing just outside the top 10. Visit our website, hubcityradio.com, for more details. We're back at it tomorrow on FSA.